Vampire Claws by Robert Winter. 2. Taviana watched the men skulk along the street. From the way they moved, with their eyes fixed on the bags of presents, he thought he knew what they intended. The happiness that exuded from the man in red spoke to memories in Taviano's heart of ancient Christmases. He was suddenly, irrationally furious at the thought of hoodlums crushing a bit of innocent joy. Grimly, he reflected that he'd intended to feed anyway. If he were right about this trio's business, perhaps he'd give his demon what it craved. He followed noiselessly along the edge of the roof. As expected, one of those in pursuit slipped across the street and ran quietly ahead of the young man. Just like wolves, Taviano thought. The road remained otherwise untraveled, and a lamp overhead was broken. The young man adjusted his bags as his steps echoed on the deserted street. Taviano felt no concern from him and had to shake his head. How naive he must be to remain unaware of his peril. He stepped into a pool of shadows under the broken streetlight, and the lead wolf made his move from the front. Spreading his arms wide, he called out, "Hey, Merry Christmas, man. Don't know I've seen you around here before. What's your name?" The young man stopped abruptly, and Taviano heard his heart accelerate. He answered warily, "Paul." His breath released a small cloud of white into the icy air. "Nice to meet you, Paul," the man said, then pulled out a Bowie knife that he flipped and caught by the handle. The blade glinted dimly. "Thanks for bringing us our stuff." Instead of panicking, Paul clutched the handles of the plastic bags firmly. His tenor voice quavered, but Taviano heard underlying notes of resolve. "These are for kids in a shelter. It's Christmas. Come on, man, don't take away their presents."
"Perfect. You hear that, Joey?"
the bandit called.
"Your rugrats are gonna get some good shit after all."
A noise from behind made Paul spin. The one apparently called Joey laughed and answered,
"Hey, Mike, I wonder if you got one of them Hatchimal things. Laura been asking for that for months."
Mike called back,
"The fuck is a Hatchimal?"
"No clue," Joey answered. "You got one of them in those bags, boy?"
Paul turned around again, apparently seeking some way out of his spot. Taviano could taste misery rising from his skin. It mingled with the sour stench of alcohol and marijuana on the three muggers. Wolves, he'd called them. He snorted. That was far too generous a word for these cretins. They were cowards. Jackals. The lead jackal, Mike, darted and his knife flashed. Paul hollered and, clutching his shoulder, dropped to his knees as Joey lunged to grab the nearest bag. Neither noticed when Taviano yanked the third bandit off his feet and into the shadows. When they heard a shriek, abruptly cut off, Joey and Mike both whirled to face the darkness. They crouched low, hands spread to defend themselves.
"I'll get back to you in a moment, Joey," Taviano promised as he leapt high in the air.
He soared over Joey to land silently behind Mike. The jackal waved his knife in warning moves as he prepared for an attack from the wrong direction. Taviano grabbed his wrist and twisted so the knife fell to the ground. He dragged its owner back into deep shadows before plunging his fangs into Mike's neck. The blood beast writhed and thrashed for pleasure as it drank. It hungered to take every drop of blood, but Taviano wrestled for dominance. Perhaps cowed by their earlier battle of wills, it retreated quickly. Joey was still reacting to the noise of the dropped knife when Taviano tossed aside the stunned Mike. He licked his lips clean and strode out of the darkness. Moving steadily toward Joey, he heard a gasp as Paul spotted him. Taviano continued inexorably across the street. Joey seemed unable to decide whether to fight or run. His heartbeat raced fast as a rabbit's when caught in a trap. The jackal looked left and right, apparently shocked to find himself alone and unaided. Trying for an even tone, he rasped out,
"Hey, we were just having some fun, teasing the guy like, let's all calm down."
Taviano didn't change his pace. He had command now that the creature had fed. The slightest touch of its power kept Joey from fleeing. His relentless approach continued until he was 2 feet away, where he stopped and drew himself to his full height. Joey's eyes were glassy with fear, and he trembled like prey that knows when it has met the final predator. "Fun?" Taviano's voice was rusty from disuse. "If it was just fun, help my friend with the gifts that you made him drop."
Oh, yeah, of course," Joey said.
He sidled around Taviano without ever breaking his gaze, back to where Paul lay sprawled on the sidewalk. He began to gather the mass of presents that had spilled from the bags. Paul struggled to his feet, keeping one hand pressed to his shoulder and his wide eyes fixed on Taviano. He opened his mouth to speak, but Taviano raised a single finger in a gesture for him to wait. Strangely enough, Paul complied. Joey put the last gift back on top of the pile in the last bag and turned to Taviano.
See, it was nothing. He ain't hurt bad. Mike gave him a little scratch, like.
The bravado in his voice faltered as Taviano came closer. Practically whining, he asked,
Can I go now?
When Taviano reached for him, he started to cry.
Oh, it's Christmas. Please don't.
A sudden gust eddied the snow around as Taviano used a touch of magic to pull Joey close. His eyes intent on the bandits, he reached inside with his demon's gift and declared,
You will forget what happened here. All you know is that you went out with your friends and you met the worst criminal you can imagine. He said if you ever again even look at someone like my friend here, he'll pull out your eyeball and feed them to you one at a time.
The smell of urine reached his nostrils. He spat. Out of my sight! Joey ran into the darkness.
Who? Paul choked off what he wanted to say as Taviano turned to face him. What's happening? Please, who are you?
Taviano smiled slightly. Someone who likes Christmas. Wait here, please. He slipped away into the darkness and repeated his instructions to Mike and the other bandit he dealt with first. Since he fed for both, with each man he nipped at his finger and smeared a drop of ichor over the puncture marks. It healed them instantly, and both jackals scurried away like the low beasts they were. Taviano returned to their would-be victim, studying him as he approached. Paul was a handsome young man, probably in his early 20s. His blonde hair was overly long and needed a cut. The red sweater, frayed at one sleeve, stretched over a well-shaped chest and broad shoulders. His shoes were quite scuffed, and the fabric of his red pants showed wear. A smell of grease, hamburgers, and scorched coffee rose from his clothes, overlaying a delicate, personal smell. Taviano inhaled deeply. His senses filtered out the mundane traces of life so he could savor the essence of the man beneath.
Rosemary and lemons, and the wind through a grove of olive trees.
He knew he should fix Paul's memories and just go, but he found he was intensely curious about the bags of presents and why Paul walked dark streets alone, why he had no coat, and why he smelled so nice. Since a good hour would vanish anyway, what could it hurt to spend a few minutes talking? It had been a long time since he had an actual conversation. He wondered if he still knew how. Paul kept his blue eyes fixed on Taviano's as he mastered his fear. His heartbeat remained fast, but his sweat carried a tinge of relief and, oddly, excitement.
Thank you, he said fervently as Taviano approached. I don't know what happened here, except that you saved my life.
He laughed and shook his head.
Wow, that sounded self-important. Okay, you saved the presents, and you stopped my ass from getting kicked.
He stuck out the hand not clapped over his shoulder as he said, I'm Paul. Merry Christmas. Taviano felt a grin stretch his lips. When had someone last offered him a hand in greeting? Amused, he shook with Paul, whose grip was warm and smooth. Life pulsed, strong and steady, in the palm against his, and in the fingers wrapped around his cold extremities.
Yes, I heard you give your name. My name is Taviano.
After a moment, he added awkwardly,
Merry Christmas to you as well.
Italian, huh? Paul said as the shake ended. I figured. You have the look, and I hear a little accent. Probably Southern, right? With that black hair and your dark eyes?
Taviano nodded, then belatedly said,
I'm from Naples, originally.
Oh, that's cool. My family mostly came from the north of Italy way back. But your name, it's lit up. We have three Octavios around the neighborhood that I know of, but I don't remember a Taviano before.
It was unusual even where I come from. My mother picked it up from a list of names written in the front of our family Bible.
Awesome sauce.
Paul blinked a few times and cleared his throat.
So, Taviano, can you tell me what happened here, or would you have to kill me? I really don't want that. So if it's better that you don't tell me, that's great too. Just say so. Dying on Christmas, that would totally suck.
He chuckled self-consciously.
Sorry, I'm running off at the mouth here. I'm kind of scared, and that makes me talk a lot.
Taviano had little interaction with anyone other than his victims. It took him a few moments to decipher what Paul had said and what he might need. With what he hoped was a reassuring smile, lips together to cover his fangs, he said,
Don't worry, please. I won't hurt you, but it's probably best if we forget about how we met.
Paul rocked on his heels and exhaled heavily.
That's cool with me. Great. No killing, then.
Taviano was relieved he'd made Paul feel better.
like he'd passed a test. The rich scent of fresh blood drifted to his nostrils. "Your shoulder is bleeding. It isn't deep, but you should see to that." Paul frowned as if he'd forgotten, but when he peeled away the covering hand, he shuddered. The knife had sliced through his sweater, the cotton t-shirt underneath, and, Taviano judged, an eighth inch of skin. A fair amount of blood coated Paul's palm and shoulder and seeped into the fabrics. But the wound was easily treated. He wouldn't even need stitches. "Oh, shit," Paul muttered. "This is my favorite sweater." He looked blankly at his bloody palm. "That's so gross, man." His demon sharpened its focus on the blood. Taviano prepared for a battle, but to his surprise, it made no effort to get at Paul. Instead, it quieted down and drifted in his belly. He frowned. Did he put Paul at risk just by standing near? That lack of interest from his blood beast was all but unprecedented, and he remained alert for some trick. Something was different in its reaction, though. It could be as simple as having fed twice that night already. Or might it have grown to accept his code of sparing innocence while feeding only from the worst wretches? Taviano had been around so few good people in recent decades he'd never had occasion to notice. Every instinct told him that Paul was just as earnest and innocent as he'd seemed from the rooftop. The unusual pleasure of talking to Paul, combined with his demon's apparent tolerance, heartened Taviano. He granted himself more time to talk, while remaining vigilant against any surprise attack by the blood beast. "Can I take you someplace to attend to your shoulder? Perhaps a nearby pharmacy?" "I might as well go back to my apartment and clean it there. I gotta change anyway now." Paul winced as he rotated his shoulder. "It doesn't hurt too bad, but that's a lot of blood." He looked at Taviano and asked seriously, "Do you think I should go to a hospital or something? I don't have any insurance, but they probably still see me at an ER. He muttered, "I hope." "It isn't necessary," Taviano said confidently. "Put a bandage on it, keep it clean, and I suspect you won't scar." Paul's eyes widened, and he smiled hugely. "I didn't even think about a scar. That would be gangster, a real war wound, right?" Taviano had to grin back. "You're remarkably calm for someone who was mugged tonight and cut with a knife." "No, I got this, bruh. I told myself that I can have 10 minutes to scream and freak out later tonight. So I just, like, put it off till then. Believe me, I'll be a fucking mess." "Unlikely." When Taviano altered his memories, he'd take away the mugging with all the rest. He didn't want a dark cloud from the attack to ruin Paul's obvious enjoyment of the season. He should do it soon. Well, when the conversation runs its course. Taviano might as well do something useful while they talked. It was almost a shame, since Paul seemed excited about his potential scar. But he won't remember the wound anyway. "May I?" he asked with a small gesture to Paul's shoulder. "I can stop the bleeding, though you're on your own with mending the sweater." Paul nodded curiously, and Taviano sliced his sharp thumbnail over his index finger. He smeared a little ichor on the cut, and it began to close. Paul's eyes were like saucers as they turned from the shrinking wound to his healer. Shocking himself, Taviano winked at him. He actually winked. "Sorry, Paul, but no scar." Taviano hadn't stepped back, but neither had Paul. They were almost the same height, though Paul was more slender of build. His big blue eyes had flecks of green and gold around the iris. That close, his heady essence made Taviano's mouth water. The response puzzled him immensely. It wasn't hunger for Paul's blood. That much was clear from his demon's apathy. So what was it Taviano wanted to do about that wonderful smell? "Run my fingers through Paul's hair to see if that's where it's coming from. Listen to the sounds the silky strands make as they fall back into a glorious mess." Oh no, that was ridiculous. He hadn't touched a man for any reason but to feed in decades. He was just caught by the novelty of talking to a sweet young man on Christmas Eve. It would end with a missing hour for Paul and a pleasant memory for himself. He opened his mouth to announce it was time to forget everything, but what came out was, "Your eyes are quite beautiful." Paul blinked, and a flush crept up his cheeks as he smiled shyly. Thanks. He looked again at his shoulder, unblemished under its traces of drying blood, and gasped, "Dude, what the actual fuck?" Taviano opened his mouth to answer, but Paul waved his hands frantically. "No, wait, don't tell me. That's the deal, right? Don't ask, don't kill. What if I promise that you'll forget all this soon, so it doesn't matter if I explain?" It was out before Taviano thought to censor himself. Prior to that evening, he hadn't even acknowledged how much he missed simply talking to someone. The temptation to reveal what he was startled him deeply. Internally, he echoed Paul's crude words. What the actual fuck am I doing? Seeming oblivious to Taviano's panic, Paul asked, Is that what you said to the asshole? I thought I heard you tell him to forget, but I didn't hear it all. Yes, the three of them will have nightmares, but no actual memories. He worried that would scare Paul, so he hastened to add, No nightmares for you, I promise. No memories at all. He added a grin to reassure, big enough that it felt strange on his face. Oh, the shining gaze dimmed slightly. Can I be honest? I'm a little bummed about that. Taviano frowned. Really? I would have thought you'd want to put this all behind you as soon as possible. Don't get me wrong, I'm kind of scared shitless, but I've never been around a ninja before, and it's blowing my mind. A ninja? Well, the black clothes, the awesome way you move. You're all muscled up and shit. I just figured... This time, Taviano's huge smile felt wholly natural. You worked it out, Paul. I'm a ninja on a special mission for the CIA. No shit, an Italian ninja. How does that work? Paul asked excitedly. Were you, like, kidnapped to Japan as a child and raised in a secret temple? Taviano threw his head back and laughed. It had been 67 years and 9 months since he laughed like that. Oh, Paul, you're delightful. Yes, I was taken as a baby to a monastery at the top of Mount Fuji. I had to battle for the respect of the monks. Ah, you ruined it, dude. Paul looked dejected, and his expressive eyes darted around as his face grew red. Now I can tell you're making fun of me. Oh, that wouldn't do. Taviano hadn't meant to hurt his feelings or make him feel bad. Damn his ineptitude. Softly, he said, I'm not making fun of you. I'm playing with you. There's a difference. Paul still wouldn't look at him, so Taviano audaciously, unexpectedly, reached out to stroke his cheek. The slight stubble scritched as he curled his finger under Paul's chin and tugged until their eyes met. Seriously, dude, he said, working to speak in Paul's modern language, I think you're awesome. Paul smiled at him uncertainly as he assessed whether Taviano was serious. What he saw must have convinced him, because his face lit again. He bobbed his head happily. KK, we're good. To stand that close and touch recalled long-forgotten delights from Taviano's human life. A simple hug. A kiss. What would Paul feel like, enfolded in his arms? Would he be warm? His brazen hand, still on Paul's chin, trembled slightly. Their eyes locked together, and Paul's lips slackened. He tilted his head forward minutely. An invitation, and all Taviano had to do was lean in. A siren roared by on Hanover Street, shattering the stillness. Shaking his head, Taviano dropped his hand and stepped back. He reached for any topic that would cover his near blunder, but keep the conversation going. In a voice unsteady to his own ears, he blurted, Tell me about the presents. All right, Paul attempted to adjust his pants discreetly. Failed. Saw that he'd failed and blushed, then stammered. Yeah, so there's this shelter for LGBTQ kids a couple of blocks over. I volunteered there for a few months. Most of them are great teenagers who got dealt a shitty hand. They're on the list for all those Christmas gift programs, you know? But somehow the queer kids didn't get picked when Joe and Brenda Suburb did their guilt-ridden thing. Taviano tried to apply the snatches of talk and programs he'd overheard through the years. He furrowed his brow. I think I understood every other word of that. Paul rolled his eyes. I guess the ninja monastery didn't have TV. Anyway, these kids were going to get shafted come Christmas morning, like by the biggest dicks without lube. That's painfully descriptive, Taviano chuckled. Whatever, prude, Paul muttered with a grin as he tried to gather his bags of gifts. When he struggled, Taviano stepped over and took the three largest bags effortlessly, while Paul hoisted the last one. He began to walk back in the direction he'd come from, and after a pause, Taviano followed him up the streets. Just a little longer. Anyway, Paul continued, I started a fund at the diner where I work. I put signs on the counter and set out jars. I guilted every motherfucker who walked through the door until I got at least a dollar out of them. Then I started making my way through the shelter's list of residents. I couldn't get everything they wanted. Even homeless kids can be greedy, you know? But I made sure every child will have at least one cool present open on Christmas morning. That's remarkable, Taviano said admiringly. Given the state of his clothes, it seemed likely that Paul owned little himself. Despite that, he had the generosity of heart to worry about children with even less. Decades of taking blood from the darkest specimens of humanity had clouded Taviano's perceptions. He'd nearly forgotten that there were good people in the world as well. People like Paul. Did it take long to gather the funds?
Oh, not really. I only started raising money after Thanksgiving. I'd go on shopping trips when I could hitch a ride with a cousin who had a car. Storing all the shit was a problem, though, because my place is fucking tiny, like 200 square feet small.
That sounds gigantic after the cell I lived in at my monastery.
Paul shot a glance back over his shoulder.
Ah, man, we're not going to play who's had it worse. You ended up with ninja skills and superpowers. I'm a short order cook. I win.
Taviano laughed. Let's call it a draw. Paul flashed him a grin, and it was the sweetest thing Taviano had seen in a very long time. He wanted to see it again. Besides, he might actually have started to remember how to talk normally, how to banter, or at least not act like a monstrous recluse who ate everyone he met.
Where are we going now? He asked. Your tiny cell?
Yeah, my place. Paul's ears turned red. I need to change or I'll scare the shit out of the kids at the shelter.
A new scent surrounded Paul. It took a moment for Taviano to process and isolate it from the essence of rosemary and lemons. It was pheromones, arousal. The idea of bringing Taviano to his apartment excited Paul. For that matter, it excited Taviano.